Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Our guest today is Matthias Franzen. Matthias is the managing partner at Roborana. Roborana provides intelligent automation services in Europe and is based out of Belgium. In this episode, we talk about the practical aspects of implementing intelligent automation and how organizations can evolve digitally using end-to-end automation. Let's listen in.
Hi, Matthias. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Can we start with a quick personal intro and a background about yourself?
Hi there. I'm Matthias, and I'm a managing partner from Belgium, Roborana, and we offer services around hyper automation. We go really broad in the scope of automation. We like optimizing processes, redefining processes, and eventually really automating processes. So thanks for the invitation, Nandan.
Great to have you, Matthias. So hyper automation. So what exactly does Roborana do now? And maybe you can start with a bit of history about Roborana, how it came about to be and what you do now.
Yeah, actually we started 5 years ago and we were basically doing pure old school RPA, robotics process automation. We were scraping screens from one application towards another application. Was working fine, was quite booming business, really hype there. It's really task automation for me. I think we've been doing great in that area, but we've been growing exponentially as well. So we've seen, while we actually were doing these RPA projects, we were seeing that the field of automation, the scope of automation is really getting broader and needs to have more technologies, other technologies that can work together with RPA, or really even other platforms that you call the hyper automation platform. So started with RPA, and then we actually slowly grew into a more broader scope of automation.
So how has that evolved? What has been your scope increase so far? And which areas do you find most promising among those?
I think the most important one, we started with more purely task automation. For me, the end goal should be always the end-to-end process automation. So the overall process needs to be tackled. And the overall process, the end-to-end process, should become more efficient and then should become more lean. So how do you do that? It's not just by automating one piece of the process. You need to look at the whole scope of the process. And sometimes you need different technology to help you with that. And for me, that should always be the end goal. The solution should be the end-to-end process automation.
So I like what you're saying. You know, we start with the business goal and look at what is the solution, right? Understand the problem and suggest the solution. So which all industries do you see automation being used quite a lot?
Well, most often we start in the finance departments, finance teams, and because they have the quite standardized processes. They have their main ERP flows, and they have all these manual labor within these ERP flows, and then sometimes these CRM flows as well. But we were quite, while we were doing that, we saw that actually, yeah, with the new technology coming up, like low-code application development, we thought that also these tools could help actually finance departments as well. And like you could easily create a portal, you could easily, let's say, create an application, an app, a mobile app that helped, let's say, really these finance people to move quicker and to close their month-end closings or quarterly closings much faster than before. So while we actually were helping them, we saw that the scope of automation could become bigger because the technology was quite evolving that fast. And then actually we saw, okay, but besides finance processes, why don't we look at other industries, other sectors? And we looked at HR processes as well, because most of the time you see after finance, you always target the HR department. But we weren't, let's say, that happy really to focus on one or two industries sectors, because we had the technology, we had the expertise to tackle each and every manual process. So we actually go bluntly to our customers and say to them, okay, do you have these kind of really repetitive manual processes? Can we look at them? Can we analyze them? Can we propose a nice solution for them and try to make it more efficient? And then it doesn't matter actually whether in the utility sector or in the finance sector or insurance sector. I think every, let's say, modern enterprise has an incredible need of digital transformation, digital evolution, like we call it. They need to start evolving towards a better digital future. And that's why they need to look at their processes, their legacy processes, but also building new processes adapted to the changing environments encountering. And so I think it's a challenging time for us. And so most of the time we start with a proof of concept or an MVP in the finance department, but I think that's too limited for us. I think Roborano really wants to extend that scope and then go to broader sectors and industry.
Okay. Yeah, and sounds like a typical journey, you know, finance, HR, and maybe procurement, and you know, taking that lead. So having done finance probably for quite a few companies, you know, and you talked about digital evolution. So what are your thoughts on how the finance in finance sector can digitally evolve?
I often give some kind of inspiration sessions to these CFOs and IT managers and finance managers, and what is really striking to me is that they are really still quite old school in their thinking. Okay, they understand they need to become more digital and they need to become more lean in their processes, but they always turn into their, let's say, ERP systems, and they always think the ERP systems will solve them and will bring these flexibility and the speed. And we know all these ERP systems, and we also know that yeah, it's not happening. It's they are not bringing the expected results that the finance department and other managers should have in their department or therefore their business unit. And so what I like to inspire them is really to think not again more in these monoliths. They need to extend their scope, and they need to look at technology as an enabler for their ERP systems and CRM systems to really extend the scope of functionality. And it's really about functionalities. It's not again about the standard processes. Of course, we need these hardcore processes, ERP processes, and we need to have our master data in place and to be clean. But you have tons of processes reappearing or invented by business because they have things changed. They have these changed needs for their customers and for their employees. And that's why we need to rethink actually the place of a central ERP system together with, let's say, around all these different processes and technologies can work together and bring a better and much faster processes can really reduce these costs here.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thought. Having a monolithic ERP tries to take care of a lot of the functionality. And what happens is that kind of reduces the, you know, like you're saying, the functionality is because people have to do things outside the system, right, to get their work done. And then a lot of finance is Excel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right? A lot of Excel is being used outside. And when I was when I'm with multiple clients, all these finance people talk about, hey, Nandan, here is this Excel sheet. How do I take that data and automate the whole thing? Can you do that for me? So that thing, that innovation or things happening outside that, you know, it's an interesting concept. You know, should we have an ERP, monolithic ERP, or should we have connected systems, or how do you go about it? So do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, for me, it's really important. It's not, you don't need an automation platform per se. You actually need an integrated platform. You need an integration platform, but that platform should be fully integrated in your application landscape. So for me, I talk to customers and organizations who have sometimes 13 different ERP systems. So one, three ERP systems, different to manage, different to control. It's really difficult for me, which is fine because they've done a lot of mergers and acquisitions. But the thing, it's really difficult because all these processes are flowing through these applications, through these ERP systems. And so what you actually need to really solve these processes is really to have an integrated platform, a platform with a lot of automation skills on top of that. You can easily retrieve the data from the different systems, but you can also push them out to other systems and to really have these data insights on the way. And that's for me the common goal. So for me, the central part of really automation and to improving your processes is to have an orchestrator. You have to have, a platform that is able to connect with the different legacy and new applications, but also to move and transfer, the data from one system to another. So for me, that's really a process orchestrator, and that's where the future lies. So it's not an RPA, it's not a low-code application development. Yes, we all need these different technologies, but we need to bring that together in a platform thinking, and we need to change that mindset of modern enterprises that they need to start evolving towards a really fully integrated office, and that's where I like to inspire my customers.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you hit the nail on the head. It's all digital is about bringing all this together in sort of a one office kind of setup, right? So just taking that forward, you know, so there is that debate about which is that platform, right, which will bring it together. So the RPA platforms like UiPath, you know, they want to be there as that platform, and that's where they are evolving into a hyper automation platform. And then you have the integration providers, like you said, you know, they are also coming into the space, and even the RPA providers are picking up the IPaaS providers. So everything is coming together. Even the BPM providers have been picking up RPA, and they're adding low code and things like that. So, you know, it's kind of a confused state out there, don't you think? So what do you think, you know, how would we evolve to have this platform that you're talking about?
But I like to have this debate with the specific vendors you're mentioning. What we have in our portfolio at Roborana, we work with the top market leaders in BPM, in RPA, in low code. We all have them in our portfolio, so we all bring service to them. And I think it's you have made some big differences between them, which is true. But what they all want to do is one thing. They want to come, in the middle, in a space where it's end-to-end process automation. So they want to have the full scope of automation there. So not only task automation, they want to have, look at the process and then have all the right tools in their platform to tackle that process. And you need to have AI, you need to have, an integrational server, you need to have RPA functionality. You also need some applications there. You need to have that data interacting with the users. So the users need to able to be directly interacting with the process. So you need to have that low-code application. But what is most important is that you have that end-to-end process scope, but you need to have flexibility, and you have to need to have speed. Because for me, it used to be that you were automating you automated in processes, and then 10 years later, you said, okay, the processes, actually, we don't do the processes anymore. So why should we actually automate for 10 years? No, you should automate for 2 years maybe. And you need to be quick because the market and the customers are moving. So you need to have a platform which all the different tools are, inside the platform, but which is quick to implement, which is scalable. You have a good basic foundation of this orchestration tools. And then you also need to have, let's say, little bit price, feasible, let's say, because it should be, if you only tackle these processes for 2 years, you should have an ROI within the 6 months. So it should make common sense that you use a platform for different use cases. The end goal should be end-to-end process automation. And you should be able to use easily the different skills of automation, like I call them, really in one platform. And you do have these platforms, and they all moving to the same in the same direction. And some are coming from the RPA side, some are coming from the BPM side, other are coming from more from an AI product side, which is fine, all fine for me. But it's for us as an implementator, as a service provider, as Soberana, really to bring that expertise, bring that knowledge to our customers, and tell them from how you can use these different technologies together and think as a platform and think and change that mindset. So I think that's our main goal and main task for us, I guess.
Yeah, and very well said. I think you said many things there. You know, a platform that is dynamic, quick, easy to use, great pricing or great value for people to use, right? And so I don't know, from your perspective, from a Roborana perspective, what do you think? Is there a platform like that right now, or do you suggest bringing in together different platforms or technologies to stitch together to make that? Or what do you suggest usually?
Well, most of the time, the ideal world would be that you always have a green field at your customers. You have, like, they don't have any of the technology yet, and you say, guys, go for that platform and you will have it all. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist. So what I think is, you always have to use the best of the breed, and you can try to bring technology which is already present within the organization, within the company. You can already look at them and try to, let's say, mimic or use a technology that is complementary to all the tools they already have. What I often see, and that's my main, well, it hurts my eyes, I have to say. So they are really business, and sometimes business is not really well informed. They want to get things moving, they want to go fast, which is fine, but they start with one technology, and it's actually on a platform, and then they don't know, actually they use 10%, 15% of the functionality of that platform, and then for another use case, yeah, they think they need another platform or technology, and then okay, they buy and they start again with that platform, and then at the end they are complaining for, yeah, we cannot have scale with these platforms. But then I'm saying, well, guys, you have already five, let's say, exact identical tools and platforms in house, but you use the 10-20% of the platform, and you don't talk to each other, let's say, you don't share these functionality, and you don't share this expertise you have. And then what I often see is, for example, if you look at the end-to-end process, it starts in one business unit, it goes to another business unit, and sometimes it ends in an even other business unit. So if you just look, within that one business unit, you know, sometimes it makes sense to use that technology. But if you look at the overall process, you need to combine sometimes the different technologies. And for me, that's the difficult part to for my job, actually, to really try to inspire them how it could be. And then move towards that. And sometimes, yeah, I have to work with different technologies they already have in-house, but we try to come up with a good solution, which is sustainable and future-proof. So is there already a platform that exists that offers all these skills? I think there are many platforms that already exist that offer these skills. I think you have to be a little bit challenging for yourself and look at what are you having already in the organizations. Try to maximize the value from that technology and try to bring it together with other technologies. And then you will see you will get even more value from these technologies. So that will be my advice. Let's say, don't look at the holy grail, one platform does it all. I think they exist, but it's really difficult really to start and throw out all the other technologies. So look at what you have already in organization, talk to each other, share expertise, and bring these technologies together. And that's really, for me, the definition of hyperautomation. For me, that's really the end goal. It's not which technology you use, it's actually, for me, it's actually a framework. It's not which technology you use, it's actually how you use the technologies together and try to have a clear vision and clear strategy of moving forward. And the technology is there. I think the technology has been booming the last 2-3 years. It was incredible how fast new functionality that was coming in these new platforms. But yeah, business is not following anymore with that new technology. So we don't. I'm very confident that the current technology vendors are there and they have figured it out. But now it's time to really organize yourself as an organization and really use the best of the technology at the right time with the right use case and share these expertise within the organization, and then you will scale.
Okay. Yeah. And I totally agree. You know, it's and technology is not the key part, right? And unfortunately, many people select the technology, and like you said, different groups have different technologies. And I've seen this in multiple places across my career. I mean, like, you know, I've done enterprise application integration. I used to go to customers and they used to have, like, you know, 5-6 integration technologies. They used to have different VPM technologies. Now they have different RPA technologies, and it all seems to be, you know, tool led, and then each of them picks one tool and then tries to do a part of it, and then there is no common thing. I don't know if there's a solution to it. I don't know if the new SaaS era will bring in some solution. What do you think?
Well, I think there will always be new tools, and that's good. That drives that evolution, and which is good. But what we really have to try is to help organizations to cope with these new functionalities, new technologies. We need to help them how they can actually bring in these innovative technologies. So, but they need to have like a good foundation. They need to have their governance, let's say, plan ready. And then it doesn't matter if you just add 1 or 2 or 3 other tools. It should be all the same, because the end goal is making a process more efficient. And what I often see, it is more like an organizational problem. You have different center of excellence teams within the organization organized by tool, but these are not talking to each other. And so they should be, let's say, governed by global or by an over arching, let's say, center of excellence, which knows perfectly the pros and the cons from the different tools. And you need to have like a demand management approach, that you really know, okay, this use case, we use this technology. For that use case, we probably should use that technology. And so for me, it's more like guiding our customers and guiding these organizations into a more mindset and changing their mindsets, let's say, how they should, let's say, work with these new technologies. And what we like to do is let's say we work with automation coaches, and like a coach should do, we should guide these teams and to challenge them from, look, did you already think about this, and did you already think about that? And that's for me the most important difference than 5 years ago, for example. Then we just been asked for, guys, just implement this tool, and here you have some use cases, and then automate them. But now we are more evolving towards like, okay, we can implement them, we can deliver these automations, but okay, we can also help you, let's say, drive these changes within the organization and to scale these technologies within the organization. So for me, that's a big shift how we are now actually moving on the market.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, right? Because earlier it was, there's a shiny tool and let's go explore it. And when I started, you know, we used to go and evangelize RPA. And now people know all about it. It's more about how you do it right, and do it based on, you know, whatever people, a lot of people have done this before. Now you don't need to reinvent the wheel. How do you do it well, right? And also, I think people stepping back and then thinking about the whole digital evolution that you were talking about, and, you know, probably having a centralized COE or something where the business, you know, that whole business objectives is considered, right?
Yeah, I think it's to add to that, it's really, sometimes they ask me, can you do a workshop where we go over the all the benefits or all the pros and the cons from a technology signal and compare that with other technologies. So, and then they already have a list, five technologies, and might just tell me which one should I use and which one is the best for us. And almost all the times I always say, man, guys, we need to have more information. We need to, what is the strategy behind this? What do you already have in the organization? Which kind of teams do you have? Which, do you want to have citizen development there? You want to, let's say, do this IT, are they on board or is this only a business sponsor there? So we need to have more discussions about that than just selecting the right tool, because in my opinion, there's no right tool. You have a right use case and you have a right solution. But it's sometimes really difficult for me because they know, of course, Roborana as a technology company. So it would be very, very easy for me from, look, this is the right tool. You can start with it. And then we start with it. And after 2-3 months, you say, okay, shit, this is not the right tool anymore. And we have to change direction, and then I make a fool of myself. So I rather have the really common sense there and really have that mindset ready, and then we can start the journey. And for me, that's the right approach.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, there is this question that always comes to me is, what's the right tool? What's the best RPA tool? What's the best BPM tool? What's the best NLP tool and chatbot tool and things like that, right? But the problem with that approach is that, like you said, you know, not all tools work same for everyone. You know, what works for somebody may not work for someone. And this whole analyst approach of having quadrants and saying that here you have UiPath is the best and Automation Anywhere is the second best. The problem with that is that today, you know, because of this information, there's a lot of information available out there. CEOs of companies approaching me, they are like, oh, I already decided a tool. I just need you to come and, you know, set up this, structure or help me understand the process. I already set the tool. And I'm like, where did you understand that? It's just that, you know, they are in the quadrant. So I either do UiPath or Automation Anywhere or maybe Microsoft. I don't want to do anything else. And I'm like, how do you know that without even knowing what's your potential within your company and what you're going to do? So I think, you know, that it's actually a bit of a reverse process. You know, people select tools first because of this, I think, that hype in the market, right? What do you think?
I think there are several hypes in the market. And I think we see it often with AI. A lot of companies, they just need to start with AI. And I'm always asked, okay, what does AI mean for you? And we need to do something with AI because it's cool and it's new and it's innovative. And I'm saying, okay, fine, but again, what do you want to do? So we have these different hypes, which also helps us, of course. We are quite relevant because of these hypes, and you have all these analyst reports showing the best tools for them. But for, like
it's
you
not
said,
for them. It's not for them. It's just a generic quadrant out there. This is the best tool.
Again, it's not fitted on the organization. It's not fitted on the question of the customer. So for me, hype is good. I like hypes. I like surfing on these hypes. But hype cannot be. We should never overpromise. I think we should always be realistic by saying, "For guys, this is cool technology. AI is something that is really helpful for your processes." But why don't we think first a strategy? And why don't we think, first of all, an overall strategy? How are we making, let's say, what is the end goal of our company? What do you want to do with these processes? And then we match the right technology to the right use case. And once we have that in place, we are able to really experiment, to innovate with these technologies and to extend, let's say, or expand the functionalities we are actually using in these technologies. So for me, I like hives again, but we should be careful that the hives are not really over-promising the results. And then it's really difficult if you have to, you are a small child and you see something that you really want and I think it's really fun to have it and then once you have it and then the products or the toys is not delivering what you expected, and it's really difficult in that journey to start with, and then you did a big investment, let's say, in that technology, and then you were thinking, God, this is gonna change everything. But at the end, it didn't change everything. It was a realistic tool, and it is there. And now you have to organize yourself to work with that toy or that new tool. And so for me, it should be realistic, and we should always be having that debate. Hype is good to have market presence and to have market awareness. But we as experts should be there to really to help them to use it, to guide them these technologies.
Totally agree, we do need hype, and hype takes things forward, right? And because creates that excitement, but also we need to tone it down and bring it down to what is actually useful for you, for us as a customer, right? And that's the whole idea of Bot Nirvana Club. So what we are doing is actually, we discuss within the club that it's more about unlearning, because there's a lot of hype out there. If you're within the social media, there's a lot of hype. You're listening to various things, various shiny things. Like you said, a child, you're attracted to it. And then I've heard stories about like people who went down that path for 4 years, 5 years, and then they found that tool doesn't work for them. So every tool doesn't work for everyone. So, you know, the idea is it's not just the tool, it's a complete package, right? And you need to understand your business objective and go from there in terms of what's the solution. So that's our whole idea, and we've been discussing about it, and you know how we unlearn this whole thing and take a step back and understand this whole environment or this whole ecosystem that's evolving, and apply what's best for each of our interests.
Wow. We like the saying, we want to talk about the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is, for me, the strategy, and then combined with the people and combined with the technology. And you have to come up with something that works for all three pillars. And so for me, that Holy Trinity should be always in the mind from all the people. And you choose the right technology. Okay, but which people we want to go use? And how does it fit in the overall strategy? And so we always have to keep that in mind. And then it might work. And then you actually are able to scale. And for me, that's really simple but basic lesson that I always give, and think about three things: strategy, people, and your technology. And then when you have that in balance, you have your, let's say, process in balance as well.
So yeah, strategy, people, and technology, right? And that's, I think that's a great note to end this on. So Matthias, great talking to you today. So if people want to connect with you and Roborona, how can they do that?
So Oana is based in Belgium and the Netherlands. So if you're from these countries, of course, you can easily find us. But just go to our website, roborana.be or roborana.nl. Or you can find us on the LinkedIn and then even the socials, Facebook and Instagram. So please follow me as well on LinkedIn. And I hope to hear about you.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.